Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our match preview for Aston Villa v Bournemouth on Sunday. 3 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday. Sounds a bit weird, didn't it, really? But there we go. Don't know where to start with this one. We'll start with last night then. What a night. Like, woke up and just thought, what a team. And It's just special, like special times for us all, and we're just venturing into a different path that I've not seen as a Villa fan. Like, you know, it depends what age you are. Some people have seen us win the European Cup, some people have seen us win the League Cup, and etc. And then some fans are too young to see us ever even be in a final. If you're a young kid, you might be, you know, not seen us being anything. So, you know, it depends where you are. But for me, you know, too young to see us really and remember us winning the League Cup. This is big. And, you know, the beauty of this channel is we've been able to go on this bit of a journey with Unai as well and with you guys at home. So make sure you are smashing a like. Smash the likes. Let's try and get over 1,000. Comment your thoughts and just subscribe to this channel. But Justin, how are you feeling the day after them penalties?
I think I've got a footballing hangover, if there's ever such a thing, you know. Like, the emotion of that 2 or 3 hours was sensational, wasn't it? And you sort of wake up and for a few seconds you're sort of forgetting about everything, and then it all just starts flooding back into your mind, don't you? And it's brilliant, you know. Like I said on the post-match one, it's what football's all about. It's what these moments, what you live for. They don't come around very often. Like I said, it's only the second time in our history we've got to a semi-final of a European competition. So just drink it in, enjoy every moment. You know, plan for the semi-finals, plan for the finals. If you can't get tickets to go out, fine. Just do something with your mates and just enjoy it. Enjoy every second of it. Yeah, who knows when this will ever happen again. So incredible time to be a Villa fan. Incredible, just incredible. I can't, honestly, it's just brilliant.
Yeah, and we did the match reaction. Well, I did the watch along and we did the match reaction last night. And, you know, we all sort of look at Martinez and think, yeah, he was the guy, and he saved the penalties. He sucks all. And the one thing I'm going to say about Martinez, which might get overlooked by some, is, yeah, we know he saves the pens. But that he sucked all that anger from that crowd during the game, the noise and all. You know, I didn't hear the noise, so I was doing the watch along, so I can't really have the noise on. And I just saw Martinez before the game, like, run to their fans, and I just heard the boos. And, you know, he's had all that, like, angered energy thrown at him, and he's soaked it all up. And then he's been able to, like, burst into life at penalties. And that takes something from that man. You know, that takes something, and it's absolutely huge. And, you know, he's in his career, he's been on that journey, hasn't he, of not playing and being out on loan at loads of clubs. And Leno gets injured. He gets his chance at Arsenal and then moves to Villa. Gets to the World Cup with Argentina, and we see what he does with Argentina. And, you know, what he said at the end of last season, like, Villa's in Europe, baby. It's too easy to go to a Champions League club and win a Champions League at a big club. And he wants to be in Europe with Villa and win stuff. And those types of players, not only are they players, and I think when you look at footballers, you think, you know, you look at footballers at times, I think, They don't care that they play for that team. They're just there, and they're there for the payday or whatever. We've got players that play for this team that actually care, and that is so important. So I wanted to touch on that with Martinez. And then another thing that I wanted to touch on, which I think, again, will get overlooked in this game, is that Matty Cash goal. You know, that Matty Cash goal was huge. But also Cash taking that penalty and bagging that penalty. So I want to give a bit of credit to Cash because, you know, I thought he was fantastic, and fair play to him. And even Duran, like, Duran came on and, you know, we needed a bit of chaos and we got it because he made the keeper spill the ball. And that was all Duran making him spill that ball. And, yeah, so shout out to the squad and just I'm just so happy for them, and I couldn't be more proud of every single player. So,
it's Villa. It's funny because you sort of start remembering little things. You know, you remember the main bits, the goals, the penalties, and everything like that. But you start remembering the little intricate moments that lead you to these things. Like you say, that Duran, just the physicality of him, and he could have easily. Give him a bit of credit in that instance because he could have easily barged straight through the keeper there, and then it's a foul, isn't it? You know, any reason that the fourth official could have got to just disallow that, and he didn't. He just did enough to put him off and to make him make that mistake. And then you got the Matty Cash, like I said, a strike. He had that sighter about 5 minutes before when he hit, probably, I think it was our first shot on target, when he hit an absolute steamer right at the keeper. But it was, yeah, and I think that helped him with that shot. And then Martinez, as you say, just incredible. I think in his interview after he said the penalty box is mine. I own it. That's the mentality. It's just incredible, isn't it? You know, that's my domain. Nobody comes in there and messes me about. Overall, fantastic. I can't wait for the semi-final now.
Me too. And this squad is now going to be galvanised even more. Like, I can't wait to be at Villa Park and them players come out, they do them handshakes, and that noise of McGinn, Cash, Martinez running to the halt to take their positions for that game, that noise is going to be deafening. So I just can't wait for it. I can't wait for the atmosphere. I can't wait to see the players. Like, I feel like I need to see the players now to just like look at them and be like, wow, you guys are like absolutely incredible. And we have got Bournemouth now. We've got Bournemouth coming up. And there's going to be one thing that I'm going to say about this game. Now is not an excuse to be thinking, oh, we've played extra time, we are going to be tired, it's a difficult game. It is a difficult game. But this is why, this is the position that this football club wants to be in and needs to be in. Going deep into European competitions and playing games like, you know, we've now got into the semi-final of a European competition, and this is what it's all about. This is where I want this club to be, competing. And yeah, it went to extra time. Would we have liked it not to? Of course. But that this European football, you know, you're not going to have it easy. And we've shown so much, and we showed so much coming off the back of the first game to then go in and beating Lille. And then now we've been away and we come back, and it's just about preparation, resting up over the next couple of days, just getting yourself right mentally, ready for this game. And these players, you know, they're going to want to do now is just keep playing football after football after football, and ride this upward trajectory that we are now on, because, you know, we've beat Arsenal in the league. And we've got Bournemouth up next. So I'm excited and I'm really looking forward to it. How are you feeling about it, Justin?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's, you know, this point in the season when the games are coming thick and fast, that every game is a final now. Every game, it's an old cliche, but it's true. Every game means loads for us this season. You know, we've secured that semi-final berth now. We've got that to look forward to. But we're back down to the bread and butter now, the business, you know, the league business. And it is a matter of just recuperating now between games and just, you know, refocusing. And they will be absolutely all over this on Sunday. You know, they will not let this momentum rest. I said it after the Arsenal game, a fantastic result, but it gives us that springboard and that sort of confidence. You could see it flowing through with Arsenal. And I'm hoping the mentality now is, which it always has been, is just, let's just go for it. Let's go for every single game. You know, we've got a few players back now, squad-wise. All right, Dougie's going to be out again, but we did really well without him against Bournemouth, so he's got a little bit of a rest ready for the Chelsea game the week after. But, you know, we're ready for it. I hope Zaniolo's not too badly injured, because I think he's come to the party the last couple of weeks as well. And we've just got to focus and we've got to be ready for it. And there isn't, I've said it a million times already, there isn't a better manager I'd want to get them back to Bodymore today. To do that recuperation, to do that sort of work on them, get them all the massage, get them all resting, a little bit of a swim, you know, and then refocus and then sit down and have a good team meeting. Right, how do we win this next game? Because you cannot emphasise how big a 3 points this will be on Sunday, looking at the league table with so little amount of games left. You know what? Four games after Sunday. We're 13 points clear now of the, you know, the fifth and sixth. Spurs have got horrific fixtures. We all know that. Nothing saying they can't win a couple of them, but this is a game we need to take 3 points off to make sure that we secure that top four berth now, which, quite frankly, we deserve, because I think we've been the fourth best team minimum this season in the league. So, you know, it's a huge game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is massive. And it's important that we back up the Arsenal win. But what I will say about that Arsenal win as well is the fact that we won that game kind of does take, a bit of pressure off this game. This game could have had a lot riding on it. If we'd have lost to Arsenal, and I know this is must win, but we would have been looking at this a bit sort of like, oh God, we have to win. Like, but now we're going into it like excited. And I think the crowd, and that's what I'm talking about more, the crowd going to it more excited rather than being a little bit like, oh, like, you know, it's like a squeaky bum time at times. But so I think in that instance of beating Arsenal gives us all a massive lift going into it as well. So we'll touch on Bournemouth now. Have a look at some of the stats, and then we'll have a look at the lineup of what we can predict then and what we think Emery might go with. So we've got the lineup here. This was the lineup against Manchester United. Bournemouth were absolutely terrific against Manchester United. But as normal, as the saying goes, we know what Man United did. They stunk the place out and got a point, and I don't know how they did it. And we got Kerkez, who was absolutely fantastic on that left-hand side. Was such a threat from left back. Solanke scored his goal. The midfield's good. The midfield works. And they are a good side. If we have a look at some of their things of what they've been doing good this season, we'll skip some of that for now. So as you can see, that they are playing in that category of fast and direct, and Aston Villa are still in that slow and intricate phase. We have a look at some of their passing stats, so you can really get a good look at what they actually do, and these sort of back up where their style fits in. So Aston Villa's sequence time is at 11.44. Our passes per sequence are at 3.73. The highest is Man City on 5.46. And Bournemouth are averaging 7.96 seconds per sequence and at 2.74. Interestingly, here you can see that their plus 10 passes per sequence are at 172. Their build-up attacks are at 48. And their direct attacks are at 80, and Villa are at 79 for build-up and at 79 for direct. So you can kind of see how their style is. It's transitional football, counter-attacking football. So that's something that we've really got to watch out for. The two styles together, you can see that the blue is where Aston Villa are comfortable with the ball, building up from the back to the halfway line, and Bournemouth have contested areas in that area. The red is where the opposition get a lot of joy. So either flank, whether it's Bailey, Diaby, Luca Dean on each flank, build up, so we should have more possession. So you can get a real good picture of how you think the tail of this game's going to go. Villa, if we're comfortable with the ball, we are composed, if we are organised, if we control the game, then we should be able to nullify Bournemouth. We've got the open play XG. Villa are at 42.31 from open play, and we've scored 47 goals. Bournemouth are at 34 and they're at 35, so both outscoring their XG. And both are pretty good at, I think this is scoring. Yeah, so scoring from set plays, we've got 14 goals and they've got 10 goals. If we have a look at conceding from set plays, they've conceded 10 goals and we've conceded 14. So both teams aren't that great at defending from set pieces. Our XG conceding, we're at 37. For XG, and we have conceded 32. They're at 35 and they've conceded 41. And then finally, if we just have a little tail of the tape, not great reading at home from Villa's point of view. We've played seven times. We've only won once at home, and they've got two away wins. Previous games was a 2-2, a 3-0 Villa win and a Bournemouth 2-0 win. And the form guide, Bournemouth coming off that draw and a loss to Luton. Villa sort of getting there, back in there with our draw from Brentford and Arsenal. So, Justin, what have you made of Bournemouth so far this season?
I think they've been pretty good. You know, I think, you know, the decision to let Gary O'Neill go in the summer was a big one. And you've only got to look at how well he's done at Wolves to see, you know, and he did a fantastic job last season under difficult circumstances and kept them up. And I think a lot of Bournemouth fans were surprised. But Areola's come in and he's done a really good job. You know, he's gone and settled the ship. He's getting the best out of the players he's got. Obviously, Solanke's, you know, the headline act, isn't he, up top. But he's got some really nice midfielders in there that cause a lot of havoc. You know, he plays a very similar way to the way we do. You know, the three in behind the front man. And they are going to come and cause us problems. I think they've got one or two injuries, but haven't we all? So, and they've got, yes, they've got nothing to play for particularly. I don't think they've got a chance of going down, have they? I think that's done and dusted what they're on for.
No, they've got more chance of getting Europe.
Yeah, they've got more chance of Europe. So, you know, they're in one, it's that weird sort of end of season, you know, nothing to play for. So, you know, they're not going to come and not be worried, are they? They're going to try and play the football. They'll set out to, you know, they'll love coming to Villa Park. They'll try and play around the deck. And we've got to be on our guard. We've got to be on it. You know, they'll be very aware that we're coming off the back of a very demanding game in Europe on Thursday night that went to penalties, not only extra time. So mentally, you know, we're going to be a bit fatigued. I think physically we're going to be okay because, you know, the five subs thing helps massively these days, so you can rotate. And I think we will rotate again on Sunday. So I think it's about starting really well, dominating possession, keeping calm, which we've done fantastic the last two games. You know, the two very different types of games, the last two games we've played. But Sunday at home, Villa Park, I fancy us, but I think we've just got to take it steady and take it to them. Yeah, be positive, get on the front foot, and our better players hopefully will be the difference in the game.
I think so too. I've already done the opposition preview. So Semenyo looks like he's going to be out. Tavernier's going to be out as well. So those are their two key players out wide in wide areas. But I really do like Otaria. Kluivert's decent. Solanke. Kerkez is a big threat coming down our right-hand side. So we've just got to make sure we really watch out for him. But yeah, I think we don't do excuses, do we? Like, you know, there's no excuses. And This is the position we want to be in. I think that's an important thing, is that we want to be playing games. We want to be going deep in Europe. And, you know, we can't just sort of like this be like, oh, God, we're going to have a mare because we've played in Europe. We've gone to extra time. And like you say, I think there'll be one big change, which I think is going to help us massively. So we'll get into the predicted lineup then. So I think it's important that I think Martinez goes back in there. And the big change for me that I think is going to happen, which I think is going to help us massively, is going to be Diego Carlos going back in there. I think Carlos goes back in there with Pau, and I think Konsa goes at right back. What are you saying, Justin?
Yes, I think so. I think the thing is, Solanke offers that threat in the air, doesn't he? And Carlos is obviously that physicality that we've got at the back. And I don't really want to push Matty Cash too much. He's just come back from an injury. You know, he's played 120 minutes. He did really, really well. So I think where there is ability to rotate and not weaken, by that I mean the left-back's the obvious one. You know, we haven't got Moreno. So, you know, we had a young lad on the bench last night. So you're not going to see him come in because it weakens our side. But with Carlos, Konsa, Cash, Langley, you know, any one of those can play, I think, and not particularly weaken us against Bournemouth. So I think it's prudent to probably do that, I think. Yeah, I think Carlos is the obvious one. I feel a bit for Langley because he's come in. He's had a really good run in the side and he's done really well for us. But he might not get a game again this season unless he comes off the bench. I hope he doesn't get a game. That's not me saying I don't want to see him play.
Well, that do you know,
we haven't got any more injuries, you know.
Yeah. When I saw Moreno got injured, I did actually kind of feel like we could possibly see Longley not start games at left back, but I think we could possibly see him come into games. So what I mean by that is if at times we have to be a bit more defensive, then Longley could come into here, and I think it would make up like that third centre back, if that makes sense. So and then you'd have like. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think Longley.
Yeah, It's all right. It would invert the way we play now. The way we play there with the concert cars pay, you would then invert it and have cash as the attacking outlets from the fullbacks and then long lay Pau. I think we've seen Pau play out there in that instance, I think. I think he did it in pre-season, didn't he, when he played Pau out on the left and then they all sort of shifted across to make up the three. But yeah, there's options there, definitely.
Yeah, there's definitely options. So I just think with that, I know a lot of fans don't like concert right back, but I'm thinking we will need to see something, some ounce of rotation slightly. And I think this really allows us to have that. And I think we know Kirkez is going to be getting into those areas and concert 1v1 defending. Also, for me, that's why I am gonna go with that. So double pivot then, Justin. I think it has to be this, doesn't it? So are we agreeing that it's gonna look like that?
Yes, I think so. Obviously, with Luiz suspended again, it does leave us very thin in the ground. But having said that, who would have thought at the start of the season we would have said we're going to Arsenal without Luiz and Kamara and we're going to go and win 2-0. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that was down to how good McGinn and Tielemans were in that double pivot, because to win anywhere away in the Premier League, you have to control the midfield. And I think first half we just stayed in the game, but I think second half we dominated in there to the point where they were taking off the midfielders, weren't they, because they couldn't compete. So yes, I think they both start in there with a view to probably trying to rest some legs. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to rest a few legs come 60 minutes, I think.
And another player I really want to highlight here is Youri Tielemans. And it's the importance of Youri Tielemans because, again, some might overlook this. It's just how my weird brain works. Is that I feel like Tielemans is now starting to get better as the season's going on. And I think if you look at Tielemans and you look at his career and you're thinking, well, what's he been involved in? He's been involved in Premier League seasons and then he's been involved in European and World Cups with Belgium. So Tielemans is accustomed to playing Premier League and going deep into, say, the summer months of playing that type of football. And Tielemans has been playing for Belgium in these big tournaments, a game every sort of 4 or 5 days. So I think Tielemans now is really coming into his own. That the more games he plays, the more games you chuck at him, the better he is. He's really used to playing in quick consecutive games. So Tielemans for me, brilliant. Keep him in there. McGinn came off early, didn't he? Did he come off at around 70 something? So
yeah.
You know, he's not gone deep in extra time. So he is, you know, played a game in Europe and he's probably going to be one of the most refreshed ones that we've got in that midfield area anyway. So, you know, I'm after a big game for McGinn because he was a bit disappointing against Lille. So I think he's going to want to get that one out of his brain and just move on and put in a real big performance. So next up then, Justin.
Just before you move on, I just want to say I agree with everything you're saying about Youri Tielemans. Arguably, the signing of the summer for us, looking at how he's had to play. I mean, he struggled a bit to get game time early in the season, but God, where would we be without him now? He's been brilliant, hasn't he? He's played in numerous positions and he's probably never let us down, I don't think. I think he's always given his all and he's a lovely footballer to watch. He reminds me very much of a Mark Draper from when I go back to when I started watching Villa. And yeah, fantastic addition to the squad and a free transfer. Yeah. Great recruitment.
Yeah. What a player. I really like him, I do. I think he's top quality. And you talk about, like, you know, oh, I feel I've in Europe, got no experience, not done it before. He's been there and done it. Like, he's been there and
it's
done
a shame
it
because
at the highest level.
He's one of them, you know, if you ask the 100 Villa fans, who's your favourite two Villa players currently? Not many would say Tielemans because he's not like the box office player, is he? He's not the Martinez or he's not the Watkins and he's not the McGinns or whatever. But he's so pivotally important to our team now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Left-hand side then, we're not sure what's going on with Zaniolo. Looked like he fell on his back, didn't it? Or top of his I don't know what he injured, but he fell. So I would imagine that's going to be an injury that probably takes a week to just settle down, maybe. So
he could make the bench, possibly, I think.
Yeah. I'll probably say safe option then. We go with Rodgers. I think Rodgers will play on that left-hand side. Or he could go Diaby maybe and mix it up completely. But we'll get into that when we put all the team there. So we'll go with Rodgers. Up top, well, obviously, is going to be Ollie Watkins. So on that double right-hand side then, are we going Diaby and Bailey? It's all we can go, isn't it?
I think Rodgers definitely plays because he gives you that physicality. Yeah. And I think, you know, he likes three centre midfielders. Whilst Rodgers isn't really a centre midfielder, he can play in the 8 and the 10. So I think he's a shoo-in. Well, obviously with Zaniolo out, what are the other options, really? I mean, I think it's, you know, without McGinn pushing a bit further or Tielemans pushing further forward, I think we do need to be very proactive, I think. And I think it's probably, yeah, Duran is the wild card, isn't he? You know, I think he did really well when he came on. I mean, he hit the post, didn't he? But with about 5 seconds left, didn't he, at that shot? So, yeah, but maybe you could see Duran starting, you know, off Watkins and being a bit of a nuisance. I mean, the worry with Bailey is he was heavily strapped last night.
Yeah.
So whether they'd want to risk him for 90 or I don't know, whether they would like to prefer to maybe just rotate with and just err on the side of caution with him because we have got some big, big games obviously coming up.
I mean, this would solve...
It's down to that injury for me.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, on paper, you're probably saying you're going to go with... That is probably, like, the strongest. But, you know, he did look
more
heavily
likely,
strapped
yeah.
up. So, if we're thinking about certain options, then, what we may have to do, you could possibly go with Bailey out wide, Duran in there as well, which I don't mind, but I'm not sure on the two playing together. The
it other changes option, our dynamic, don't you think?
Yeah, so the
I don't
other
mind
option,
Duran there, but it just changed the dynamic of the side.
So the other option, what we could do is, if we have to do this, would be to go with moving McGinn onto the right-hand side. Then we put Tielemans where Louise plays and Irabunum comes in and plays there. I mean, that's possibly something that we could maybe see if needed. I don't know, if we had to do something like that.
Yeah, I think they're all viable options of a thought process. You know, we're having to make do in certain positions. I think my gut is you'd probably just go with Bailey and Diaby because that's the most, you know, that's just the best 11 I think we can put on the pitch, aren't we, isn't it? So I think that's probably the most sensible. And then look to bring players off and rest them when we can.
Yeah, well, we got there in the end. Options. There are still options, everybody. Right, so I think that's it. I think we've chatted enough. So we've got the opposition preview out tomorrow. Score prediction, I'm going to go for a... I'm seeing 2-1. 2-1 Villa. Justin?
2-0.
Up the Villa. Up the Euro Villa. See you later.